You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. We made it, baby. You can join us, be a big part as always. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working on the board, on the phones for you, spinning all the hits and jazzed as hell. It's Friday. So my co-host for the day, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review. Check that show at 9 to 11 on Saturdays right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim, welcome back, man.
As always, profoundly honored to be with you, my colleague and friend.
We have a lot to get to today, but it is the last opportunity for you to break into spring with Civic Media. It's our statewide giveaway contest. So download the Civic Media app, find your favorite radio station, use the text button at the bottom of the screen, and text in the super secret keyword today before 5 p.m. That word today for your chance to win $100 in cash is mattress. Mattress. Maybe that cash will be under your mattress if you win today. So again, download the app, find the station, text the word mattress, M-A-T-T-R-E. SS for your chance to win. We will remind you throughout the day. Jim, I know we have lots of legal things to get to.
We do.
But on days like today, we gotta start out with the closing bell. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
And it was a bloodbath out
there. Not a good thing going on.
And I think even JP Morgan, one of the big banks, came out with a report and they labeled it bloodbath. I mean, this is the references that the big banks are using. Great. Market Watch is reporting U.S. stocks have had a rough go of it since President Donald Trump was sworn into office for a second term in January. Oh, do tell. They did the math, so I don't have to do math on the radio. Since January 17th, the Friday before Inauguration Day, the U.S. stock market has seen $9.6 trillion in value erased, according to data from FactSet and Dow Jones Market Data. Of those losses, of the $9.6 trillion since Trump's inauguration, $5 trillion have been erased in just over the past 2 days. The largest two-day loss on record. On record! Breaking records, yo! Making America great again. Breaking records.
And you think at some point after, again, the first 24 hours, now 48 hours, someone inside the White House says, again, bloodbath, it is bleeding, it is hemorrhaging. We can use all the blood terms here. Maybe we need to do something to remedy this because it's not getting any, it's getting worse. Raises once again the question that you and Jess and I have asked repeatedly. Who is standing around the president? Is there anybody, is there any adult in the room here who is saying we need somehow to remedy this? Maybe we've got to swallow. I realize this is ridiculous when it comes to Donald Trump, but swallow our pride and say, you know what, that crazy chart where we're not only imposing tariffs upon islands that have penguins on them and nothing else, all of that. Let's suspend that and let's restore. Let's do this. I've been promised people that we're still going to do it if we want to do it, but we're going to do it in a methodical way. We need desperately to stop this, and we can't open on Monday morning. We cannot open on Monday morning and do more of this. We just can't, Mr. President. Is somebody saying that to him?
No, that's the problem. Yeah. That in this administration, Trump, unfortunately, learned some lessons from the first time around.
Yes,
that if he put those responsible adults in his cabinet, if he surrounded them, if he allowed them to share their expertise, they would tell him no. They would tell him things that he didn't want to hear. So he made very, very sure that this go around, there was no one like that in the room.
Look, people, those penguins, terrible people. Terrible, nasty.
Right.
Nasty.
Right.
Enemy of the people. Those penguins. Nasty penguins. No, there's no adults in the room, man. Congress, now technically Congress, if I, I'm no lawyer, right. Jim, but tariffs seem like a tax, and tax seems like me, like the purview of Congress, and there are some Republicans who are apparently getting a little concerned, but is it too late?
It is not. Basic fundamental notion. The Congress is where the budget comes from, right?
What? You know,
James Madison said that all the budget bills, they start in the House of Representatives. They're the ones that are representing the people, right? They put this together. It goes over to the Senate. They go back and forth. They've got some reconciliation. Ultimately, it goes to the president to sign. There's a whole process there, but it begins on Capitol Hill. And yes, indeed, while the president does have an awful lot of responsibility when it comes to international matters and foreign affairs, you look at section at Article 1 and all the sections of Article 1, there's a huge amount of responsibility vested in the House of Representatives and the Senate to do foreign affairs, including things that relate to finances. And so the Congress wants to introduce, if Mike Johnson decides, well, again, this isn't going to happen, right? But hypothetical, that's not going to happen. Number two, that they need to do something, and they should. They should. And they get together and they say, we need to usurp this field and frankly, pass legislation. Maybe Donald Trump won't sign it. We've got to do something to send a message to the American people at a minimum. We're having no part of this, and maybe, just maybe, that'll give the president, if he does decide, if he gets some modicum amount of honor and decency, sign something. The point is, yes, the Congress, once again, should be acting, and they're not. They're not. Not one bit.
Wall Street Journal reporting 2,200-point drop in Dow ends brutal week for stocks. Blue chips enter correction as NASDAQ S&P plunge nearly 6%. As the Wall Street Journal puts it, more than $6 trillion erased from the market in 2 days. And according to Market Watch, that's a record. Congratulations, Trump administration. Didn't think you had it in you.
I do not mean to turn this all into legal or court issues, but, you know, the impacts upon this, we can draw lines from this to so many things in America, including its impact upon, yes, indeed, pending litigation, court claims, all kinds of things, not just bankruptcy court. But there, if you think about it, we'll talk a little bit, I think, about the opportunity to remedy things through money in just a minute. Another story is coming up. But the implications are not just financial. They are across the board, and they affect human beings. They affect families in America. It may not have hit you quite yet, but it may well by next week at this time, by Monday and Tuesday, you may find that your own financial status has been compromised by
this. Well, I mean, it certainly has. And again, and talked to Earl yesterday, you know, not everyone's in the market. You know, certainly we can appreciate that. And those folks maybe won't feel the pain until, you know, it hits the stores, you know, it hits the Walmarts, and all of a sudden those goods, and you're going to these places to buy less expensive goods, become more expensive, because this is by purpose. This is what Trump wants. He wants, you know, to end these things. And so there's a repercussion for that. But there's no question the value is going down. Now, do we go another, you know, 5% Monday, 5% Tuesday? We'll see, you know. And this is above and beyond a pretty good jobs record for the last month. Blowing way past expectations. And normally I think we're far enough in. Yeah, those are the jobs now. This is Trump's economy. Those are his job numbers. And those were good numbers. And still, given that great news on jobs, the market still did what it did today.
Right. And this may also be an opportunity for the American public similarly to wake up and say, you know what, all these statements about how Donald Trump inherited this absolutely positively disastrous economy from Joe Biden.
Yeah, come on.
Can we now say, no, this is a disastrous economy. This is what that looks like. And let's just give you some basic statistics about what Joe Biden's economy looked like. Let's compare them 4 months later. You'll see a huge difference.
Well, what we see right now is almost a $10 trillion reduction in the markets since Donald Trump's inauguration. Beijing, China, responding. Also, the Wall Street Journal, they would hit all U.S. goods with an additional 34% tariff starting Thursday, matching the level of the White House latest tariffs on Chinese imports. So now the tit for tat starts.
Here we go.
And again, what's going to be impacted the most? You know, certainly our agriculture. You know, they use a lot of soybeans over there. We make a lot of those here. And what happened last time? Well, Donald Trump just opened up the spigot, you know, from some New Deal era, and was able to just fork over almost $30 billion to the farmers because of his last trade war. Right. So, you know, we're going to be in the situation where our exports are going to be dinged. They're going to go down. GDP is going to, maybe get flat, maybe start going into recession. Prices are going to go up. Interest rates are going to stay the same. At least they are right now. This is another issue we have going on. It sounds a whole lot like stagflation to me, and that's never, ever, ever good, Jim Santel.
It is certainly not. And we've also seen this before. The two other major times when we had dramatic tariffs in the country, what happened afterwards? Gee, I think that's the thing called
the Gilded Age.
Right, exactly. Right.
Come on, but I mean, Trump was out there like literally anti-history-ing.
Yes.
He was saying, no, this is what fixed it all with the tariffs.
Just the opposite, Mr. Trump. Just the opposite. And we've seen this again, separated by about 100 years or so, when we tried to do this on this macro scale, it has been disastrous for the economy. Again, I recognize our Treasury Secretary has bought into this hook, line, and sinker as well.
Headlines are saying he might be hitting the exits, man.
Is that right?
Really?
Okay. All right. Right. Last night, he was still, as of 2 days ago, he was still sort of announcing the Trump agenda here. But you had to believe that he, too, privately was thinking, ooh, this is not good. Not surprised if indeed he's thinking, I need to get out of here now. This, again, he is an intelligent person. Why is it that you compromise your soul, your integrity to advance this kind of thing? Maybe now, as you're telling me, Dom, that he's recognized this is a ship I've got to get off of a little bit late, right? Where have you been?
The Raw Story reporting, on this that let's see. So Stephanie Ruhle was on MSNBC. She says that her sources say that Scott Bessent is a kind of odd man out here. The inner circle that Trump has not even close. He's not even close to Scott Bessent or listening to him. She told Scarborough. Some have said to me he's looking for an exit door to try to get himself to the Fed because in the last few days he's really hurting his own credibility in the history of the markets. I mean, who would want to be that guy? Mm-hmm. You know, but he took the job, man. I mean, he had to know what was coming up. What do you think he's going to do? He's been talking tariffs. This is what he wanted to do.
Right.
And congratulations, everybody. This is what you got. And it's not making prices, those price of eggs, that's not going down. That's not going to make it go down.
Right.
Things are going to go up.
A person, again, confirmed by the United States Senate. And during the course of that, talk about articulating the Trump vision economically. Even when you watched him, you had to think, really? Do you think you've been successful here on Wall Street? Do you really believe that?
Is that how it works? Is that how you made your money, man?
Right. I don't think so. Don't teach any economics courses in any major academic institution in this country because you're going to provide an awful lot of very bad historical information and present macroeconomic and microeconomic information. He knows better.
Donald Trump continues to attempt to rewrite history in all sorts of ways, and this is the most recent way. And I tell you what, if you're a MAGA and you don't know anybody, you're listening to Donald Trump, you might think, oh yeah, that's great.
That sounds right.
We'll take some. All of a sudden, they're all like, well, yeah, we'll take higher prices as long as we make sure the gays can't get married.
Right. Just wait for a little while. It's going to be a little bit tough for a while, but
two weeks. Yeah, we're coming out with an ACA replacement in 2 weeks.
And then good prices on eggs.
It's Infrastructure Week here on the Dom Salvi Show. Join us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Last day for our break into spring text to win contest right here at Civic Media. It's our statewide contest. Go download the Civic Media app, find your favorite radio station, hit the text button at the bottom for your chance to win $100 cash today. Today's word, mattress, M-A-T-T-R-E-S-S. Text the word mattress for your chance to win $100 going on until 5 o'clock Central. today. James Santel joining me here, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jess Pius is working hard on the phones and on the board. We have a guest coming up next segment, Ajack Johnson, a representative for Hands Off. Now, if you've seen, there's a protest being planned all over the country, and people were sending me stuff. I'm like, what is this all about? So I dug a little bit, reached out, kind of some back and forth, and we're going to have a representative from the organization talking to us, tell us what it's all about, where you can go, and all that. So stick around for that for the next segment. Right now, talking about the calamity that is happening to the market. I mean, Donald Trump was so concerned, he went golfing. It's totally fine. And he's going golfing, I think, and specifically, aren't the Saudis paying him for the golf thing he's doing?
And why wouldn't they?
I mean.
Right. Why should we expect anything other than that? You know, the whole golfing issue, too, it for every president, it can be a true red herring. In a time like this, you just don't want to be out there, right? And it's not to say that every human being, including the president of the United States of America, has an opportunity to be with family, enjoy things recreationally. Every president has done that. They most often have a dog, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
This president does not. But in a time of crisis, and this is crisis.
Oh, he created the crisis. So it's not really a crisis for him, more of a crisis for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That image of him swinging the golf club in that athletic form that he is in is one that, again, I would like to think that at least his publicity people are not crazy about right now.
He is his publicity people. He doesn't give a damn. Yeah. And literally some of the reporting people are saying he doesn't even care. I mean, old rich guy, you know, doesn't care. And it's not great to have someone in that position of power who doesn't care.
Right. We anticipate at least that a president has compassion, right? And that we elect people that we'd like to think have partisan views, political perspectives on things, but care about human beings. That's number one. We tend, with some notable exceptions, to elect people who are nice people that we maybe want to maybe not be politically aligned with, but we'd like to have dinner with them.
Have a beer with them,
right?
But capable people.
Capable people,
you know, the personalities are different, backgrounds are different, those things. But capable. Is someone I'm looking for in these kind of positions.
A basic level of competence, a basic understanding about how government works. I am still convinced that the president has never really appreciated anything related to, he gets this idea that, yes, there's that big white domed building up there on the hill, and there's some folks at a castle-like looking building beyond the parking lot there, and they seem to say some things from time to time, and I can put people there who say things that will be supportive of me. But in terms of the actual management of things, it's just stunning that we've got a president who himself is not competent and has not bothered in, again, 10 years now, to understand the basics of how government works.
Well, there's no general curiosity because a guy like that thinks he knows it all. Mm-hmm. And he's already got it all figured out. And it's everybody else who's woke and trying to get on board with his, you know, philosophies. 855-752-4842. Get to it. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be missing you, Dom.
Thanks, man.
The one thing the thought that I had, if Trump wants to avoid complete humiliation here, he only humiliated himself grandly here. He could give Congress, he could make a few calls and give some Congress people on the House side permission to overturn, you know, to seize control of the tariff powers, and Congress could take their responsibility as they're supposed to be responsible for doing the tariff policy. And then that would be out of Trump's hands. I mean that, but Trump is not going to do that, and he's going to crash the economy, and it's still Biden's fault or Barack Obama's fault or.
It's the tan suit, Mark. It's all been downhill ever since the tan suit. Thanks for the call, man. I always appreciate you listening to this fine program. Appreciate you, Mark. The president is going to crash this economy if this continues on this way. I mean, come on, you cannot sustain this. There's no upside to this. If this goes on, you know, next week, we're going to see some real bad things. At some point, though, Congress, perhaps if their constituents get riled up enough, you know, we have these hands off rallies going on around the country. People are fired up. Well, this isn't helping this administration's cause, this short term pain. sooner or later, folks can get really riled up and they're going to continue to pound on the doors of the Republican representatives. And those folks are going to have to make a decision. Are they going to stay loyal to Donald Trump, or they're going to actually serve the will of their constituents? Because I'm pretty sure those constituents didn't sign up for, even if you voted for Trump, this wasn't what your expectation. Now, maybe you should have seen it coming. I hate to tell you we told you so, because telling you we told you so doesn't do any good, but you should know that we did tell you so.
Exactly. And we've had these wonderful protests here in Wisconsin, around the nation, and a lot of that's been focused on this flurry, that's understating it dramatically, of executive orders, everything from Social Security and shutting down USAID and domestic funding and
citizenship,
yeah. Right? Access for Musk to get into the Social Security Treasury Department. Again, we can go on and on. And all of those things are legitimate, and they're a good basis to get out there and scream at the top of your lungs. Now we have this additional overlay for tomorrow around the nation to say, in addition to trying to change government, to crash government in every way, to shut down offices and to stop the basic functioning that's supposed to support people in America, now we're affirmatively kicking them, not just in the shin, but frankly, undermining their very ability to exist economically. And that's when, to the extent that people always said, you know, it's always about the economy, stupid, right? That's the mantra that's been out there. If people were voting for their paycheck, their dollars in the past, which is what some of the pundits say, here it is. How did that work out for you, right? And it's not just a matter of I told you so, which is a significant reason for being out there, but also, what do we do now? What do we do now?
What is the next step? Every day is a new opportunity, Jim.
Right.
Tomorrow, hands-off rallies taking place in more than 1,000 cities across all 50 states. Nearly 400,000 people have signed up to attend them. Ajak Johnson from Hands Off Rally going to join us next. Stick around. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, joining me today until 6 o'clock. Just P.S. always on the board. As mentioned prior to the break, hands-off rallies taking place more than 1,000 cities across 50 states. Nearly 400,000 people have signed up to attend them. And we have a representative, an organizer from Hands Off, Ajak Johnson. You are up. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show.
Whoa, there, all these years.
Hey, Ajak, welcome. Thank you for joining us. How are you feeling today?
You know, I'm feeling a lot of excitement. You know, we're really going through a lot, and time goes on, and a lot of people have been going through a lot for a lot of time. But, you know, I'm really excited to see Wisconsin gather tomorrow and Wisconsin use its voice and Wisconsin get together. And I want to see Wisconsin stand up. So, you know, I kind of feel, you know, like right before you eat a meal that you're really excited about.
Yeah.
it's just that energy kind of courses through you. That's how I'm feeling today.
I've been, as I mentioned on air here, I've been getting hit up from different folks, family and friends about, you know, these organizing and these protests coming up. And so I started kind of poking around the internet and was trying to find, like, who is this and where are these people? So now that we got you here, Jack, what started this protest? What's the organization all about and where did it come from and what are we trying to accomplish?
Of course. I'll tell you there's a lot of different organizations that have stepped up to the front of this, and more than a bunch of different organizations, there's a lot of different people who've stepped up to the front of this, right?
Yeah.
Just everyday people who found out maybe they were driving on their way home from work and saw people on the side of the street, and they wanted to stand up and step up. So I'm one of them. I'm one of the people. I do my organizing with 50501. It started on the internet. One day someone said, let's all have a bunch of protests. And it's continued on since. So a lot of people are gathering. And I'll tell you what, like you've been saying, they're all over the United States, but they're also across the world. People have been pouring out in Canada and over in Europe, and even there were a couple down in Turkey that came out and really stood up. And every demonstration is so unique because every location is so unique. What I can tell you about Madison is there's a lot of people. Some of us are from 50501. Some of us are from different indivisible groups. There's a lot of different unions that have stepped up that are going to stand up and speak tomorrow. And in Madison, we really want to focus on the community building. You know, I don't mean to be the voice in the corner saying negative things, but just looking at the patterns, things are going to get worse before they get better. So if we can build our community connections and we can prepare to step up to the plate and the places where the government's pulling back from it, we can stand up for the things that are protected. I mean, due process, human rights, human dignity, all of these programs that we've got, stand up and tell the government, hands off, we're protecting these, while at the same time taking a very hands-on approach to making sure that our communities are taken care of, our children are taken care of, our neighbors are taken care of.
Hey, Jack, this is Jim Santel. Glad to have you with Dom and me and Jess today. It's delightful and terrific to hear about your plans for tomorrow. You have already talked about the community aspect of this, bringing everybody together. Even so, I suspect there are an awful lot of people who are going to show up around the country tomorrow, around the world tomorrow. They have their individual advocacies, right? I'm upset about Social Security. I'm upset about the fact the president has said that transgender people can't be in the military. I'm upset about the fact that the arts are being compromised, that USAID is no longer there, all these kinds of education. Talk to us a little bit about the challenges of bringing together, again, people who are like-minded, but each of whom, or maybe many of whom, have independent reasons for being there, and getting them, I suspect this may not be a big task, to reach across, if you will, and say, that issue is my issue too, even if it doesn't affect me dramatically right now, right at this time.
Well, I'll tell you what, the metaphor that I always use is the backpack. We're all going on the same journey and we all have different things in our backpack and we all have different reasons why we're showing up. We've been around, this nation's been around for 250 years now, for a little bit more, a little bit less, I can't exactly remember. But we've got a lot of things that are just in the back pocket that have not been addressed, whether it's the ongoing war in Gaza, whether it is Social Security. Social Security has been a big question for a long time, over 100 years. Education has been a really big thing. School violence has been rising. But we also have a lot of different marginalized communities in the United States who, no matter if it's red or whether it's blue in office, right, still get left behind. Even in Wisconsin, you know, we have a huge incarcerated population that we've really got to step up with. So I think that what we've really been offered here is an opportunity to all step up and say, okay, well, clearly nothing's going to get done unless we do it together. I don't think that there's a lot of good leaders in the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin comes up with a lot of good leaders, and there's a lot of good leaders that are really guiding their people to come and, we do not have a list of things that we're anti, you know, because by being pro things, by being pro democracy, by being pro human rights, by being pro competitive markets, whatever we want to be, right, pro community, by having that democracy there, all of the things that we need will come out of the woodwork. There's something that we've had these events in the past and they've had hundreds of people. They've had a very good turnout, but now we're expecting thousands in Madison, right? And this messaging shift really to we've got to do this together. We've got to step up. And right now we don't have a table where we all can speak at, you know, so we've got to earn our voice. And as we collect, we do that. And I think that something that people either understand before they get there or learn very quickly when they get there is that the community is just so vibrant and so nice to have other people to walk with along this journey to make a better world. And I think that it's been really easy, especially with the different organization leaders or different union leaders, to follow this message that we've been able to craft with Wisconsin's March Forward tomorrow.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That is Ajack Johnson. She's with an organizer with 5051, one of the organizations participating in the Hands Off Rally tomorrow, along with Indivisible, ACLU, League of Women Voters, Planned Parenthood Action Fund, and others. The Hill has a write-up on this, and they declare that the protesters have three main demands: an end to the billionaire takeover and rampant corruption of the Trump administration, an end to cuts in federal funding to Social Security, Medicare, and other programs that working people rely on, and an end to attacks on immigrants, trans people, and other communities. Ajack, you know, we had an election earlier this week in Wisconsin. Justice now, soon to be Justice Susan Crawford, won over the money of Elon Musk and the billionaire influence and the rampant corruption, as I would call it, when you have a guy like that offering million-dollar checks to people who vote the way he thinks you should vote. I think there was a pretty good pushback. Crawford won by over 230,000 votes. Do you read anything into that? And what do you think that portends for the future, Ajack?
Well, you know, what I read into that, like, I think that there was definitely a lot of money that was flying into that election way more than it should have from both sides, but especially from Elon Musk. And this message of get out of our business, get out of our business didn't work, right? The demonstrations against this interference didn't necessarily work. What really turned this election out for Susan Crawford was people coming together and saying, this is the future that we want. These are the things that we want our court to be in line with our Constitution and stand up for the law. And a lot of different people felt very compelled to do that. And I know it can be very overwhelming looking at election results and the way that they swing one way or another. But I think that the big read from the election is, well, there's two big reads. The first one is that Wisconsin's not for sale. And I hope that the nation is listening, and I hope that the nation is watching, and I hope that it has its eyes on Madison tomorrow. Because what it's going to learn is that they don't have to be for sale either, right?
Yeah.
Florida does not have to be for sale. Montana does not have to be for sale. And I think that Wisconsin has done a very good job showing that example and paving that light. Secondly, I think it shows the power of what happens when we come together and organize. There were people who were putting in 17, 18-hour days canvassing for Susan Crawford up in Green Bay when Elon Musk tried handing out his million-dollar checks. As frivolous as that was, there were more people outside than there were inside. But it was that physical action, you know. It was blocking people from getting into that event. It was the canvassing. It was talking to neighbors, creating community events, doing these demonstrations that show that it takes more than your voice to take action. And I think what Tuesday's election showed us is that Wisconsin's got what it needs to fight for what it needs. And if you're not a fighter, that's okay. But to build, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's any clearer moment. And I really hope that people are celebrating this, even if they didn't like the other elections. And, you know, people are diverse and people will support Crawford. They will break from Crawford, whatever. But I think what we really need to take away from this is that when we try, we can pull it off. And who knows where we could go from here? There's all these funding cuts are happening. We're going to need to support our communities. We're going to need to support our children. And Wisconsin on Tuesday showed that it has every capability to do it. So now the question is no longer if we can, it's when we will.
Ajack Johnson from 5051, an organizer, being part of the hands-off protest going on across the country tomorrow. I'm just looking at the map, and folks, you can check them out online, handsoff2025.com. You can go click on the title, find an event. It brings you to a mobilize.us map, and it shows you. And I'm looking at the state of Wisconsin right now, Ajack, and there's got to be 20, 30 different protests going on all in the southeast and Janesville. Of course, you mentioned Madison, La Crosse, the Fox Valley area, Eau Claire, up north, Rhinelander. I mean, it's all over the place. It's great to see. We just got a few minutes left in this segment, Ajack. I want to get your thoughts. For people that aren't very politically inclined, you know, to show up at an event like this, it kind of, they're hesitant to do so. How do you approach folks that are probably would be better off involved and letting their feelings be known and dealing with some of these challenges that we have as a society that don't really want to engage because they're of whatever, you know, hangups or reasons are in their head. How do we get that engagement, in your opinion, Ajak?
Well, the first thing that I'll say to those people is find me after the event's done tomorrow. I could use some non-political people in my life. But that really is the thing, you know, Dom, that really is the thing, because at the end of the day, we're all going to work, we're all cooking, we're all dropping kids off at school, doing whatever we need to do. So there are a lot of people, especially with the wages that some people are making nowadays, that just don't have time for politics. And one of the things that we've especially focused on in Madison is, like, this is life, right? Especially for anyone who receives federal services, anyone who works with any organization, which it's a lot of organizations, food pantries, even grocery stores that receive government contracts to do good for their community.
Yeah.
So if you're not politically inclined, what I would say is don't bring out a sign with a political message. Bring out a sign that think about something that you value and put that on a sign and come step out. Like, this is a pro-democracy rally. This is a pro-community rally. This is a pro-equality rally, a pro-human rights rally. You do not have to be political. And, you know, I really don't put myself on either side of the aisle. But for the Republicans in the room who are looking at this administration, for the more conservative voters, even if they voted for Trump, what I would say, if you're looking at things and you're saying, this ain't right, you know, and it's okay if you don't think that the alternative would have been right either. It's not about that. This is not an extended Kamala rally. You know, this is about democracy, equality. This is about doing better. So regardless of who you are, regardless of who you believe, I would say that this is family friendly too. You know, bring your children. Let this be transformative for them.
Ajak Johnson, thank you so much. Hands-off rallies all across the country tomorrow. Thousands of cities across 50 states. Find yours. Thank you, Ajak. Appreciate it. Folks, come back well. Let's take in your calls, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-757. I almost forgot the number. Thank you, Ajak Johnson.
You're slipping, man.
No, man. Ajak Johnson, organizer with 5051, one of the organizations helping to promote the big hands-off rally tomorrow. So, folks, check it out, handsoff2025.com. Jess, we'll put those in the notes, please. If people want to check it out, handsoff2025.com, and you can check out. They have a nice little, you know, tab. Hit the map. You can find a map, you know, a town near you, and go check it out. It's a lot. A lot of people are hitting it. As The Hill is reporting, 1,000 cities across 50 states, and nearly 400,000 have signed up to attend them. That means it'll be more than that. So,
and Dom, it strikes me too, listening to Ajak, that it's also an opportunity for some education, right? Maybe the small e, not books and learning in a classroom, but okay, I'm concerned about, I've got children, I'm concerned about their education. I heard that Donald Trump is bringing the education department down, right?
Right, right.
I mean, talk with people about that, right? Figure out what does that sound like? What does that look like? And why is that catastrophic? You may not know all the details, but a great opportunity. Again, pick your topic, as
right,
she was talking about, right?
Good point. And then also, and if you don't know, I like the point, you know, bring something, you know, that's not political.
Right.
I thought to myself, well, a sign that says love.
Right.
Sure. You're going to be mad at that?
Exactly.
You know, Simon says peace.
Right.
You know, think something like that. It's something you can't be mad about.
I care for America. Right? Right. Maybe that's too controversial.
How controversial?
Wait, which America? Which America are you talking about?
I've gone too far, right? But that kind of thing, right, that just indicates that we are interested in being normal, natural human beings who do have some concern about one another.
My sign is going to say normal.
Right, right. Right,
you know I'm lying.
Or competence, getting back to our earlier conversation.
Easy now,
right?
Easy.
Don't go crazy, Jim.
855-752-4842. Last chance for you to win in our Break in the Spring Text to Win statewide contest. Finally, go to the download the Civic Media app, find your favorite radio station, hit the text button at the bottom. For your chance to win $100, you are going to text the word mattress, M-A-T-T-R-E-S-S, mattress. I got James Santel, you're going to have to hit the mattresses after killing it on today's show. Okay, mattress, singular, not plural, mattress. Going to have to hit the mattress after having a great show. 855-752-4842. Some of you folks, maybe you didn't listen to the entirety of the show yesterday, and you certainly should have because you missed a lot. I'm going to remind you, we're going to get to it in the next hour. Lots of folks line it up. This is the last broadcast of the Dom Salvia Show. Jess and I both will be moving on to other endeavors. This adventure has come to its conclusion, and we're going to take some calls and talk about that and have some fun in the next hour. In the meantime, well, hell, we'll take some calls. Oh, we also, at some point, when we get a chance, Josh Call, the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, was slapped down by the judge, by an appeals court, and by the Supreme Court. Nobody was buying what he was selling. I find that somewhat problematic. We'll maybe get into that in the next hour. But let's get some callers out there. Happy Friday to us all. 855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods, you are up. Welcome, Ollie. What do you got for us?
Well, first off, I'd like to thank you and Jeff both for your wonderful shows. They were a big part of my day.
Oh, you're welcome.
And,
thank you, Ellie.
I wish you both well in your new endeavors. Also, I would like to say that there's one of the protests in Spooner tomorrow.
In Spooner,
and,
okay.
Yep. And although I'm not able to get out and protest, if I could, I would be protesting the political extortion that our president has been using against universities, against their grants. He threatened Harvard University today, and he's taken away over $500 million in grants and contracts to Brown University, not to mention what he's done to the university's slashing in Madison and Eau Claire.
Yeah.
So those would be the things that I would be protesting if I was healthy enough and able to get out and protest.
And Ali, as you're saying, this is no small attack upon these institutions, right? Hundreds of millions of dollars as to them. And yes, they do have endowments and they've got big operating budgets. But that has to come from somewhere. And again, they rely upon that. They have been entitled to get it by virtue of applications that they have made. This is not a matter of the government just doling out money and having to go wherever it is you would like it to go. It is identified for particular purposes. And it's for what? It's for teaching. It's for education, right?
Well, what kind of education? Right. Come on. You know, I heard that he took that money away from Brown University and gave it to White University.
Mm-hmm. But I'm
not. Thank you, Ollie, for the very kind words. And I know you'd be out there protesting. And folks, if you are in Spooner, I looked it up because you can go to the website, handsoff2025.com. They can click on the map button, actually the find event button. And I did. I clicked on the find event button and I found Spooner, Wisconsin. The location, the intersection of Highway 70 and Highway 63 River Street in Spooner, Wisconsin, tomorrow, noon to 2 p.m. They're all over the state. They're all over the country. And you folks are going to join us. And we're going to wrap up our final hour ever of the Dom Salvia Show. Never had a Dom Salvia Show without Jess P.S. James Santel going to be wrong for the ride as well. Hope you folks stick around and join us. Thank you for everything you have done. Call us up, 855-752-4842. Our minds, but we all try to hide it. It's hard to keep fighting.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.